Yep.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready to go? Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Your turn.
I think I'm ready to go.
How about the sixth sheep? Sixth sheep is sick. The sixth sheep. Sixth sheep is sick.
What about the Polly one?
Do that one.
Or Sally. That's what it was, not Polly.
Well,
Sally sells.
Sorry, Sally shows moved on.
By the seashore.
Her replacement.
Her aunt Polly took over.
Few things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 12 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And yeah, you're right. You got to move to boom.
Yeah, you're hogging the mic.
I've been told that before.
Not a fun game for Packer fans. Packers lose to the Vikings in Minnesota. Packers 17, Vikings 24.
Yeah, it was... Ah, man. You know, even though the way the game started, it just had that feeling to it. You know, we're playing and you're just waiting. It's playing in Minnesota. It's the Packers, the Vikings. Typically, you know, somebody will jump out of the stadium in from the crowd and tackle somebody. You know, I'm just being silly, but you know, it's stupid. Something silly happens. But this one, it just kind of had this weird vibe. And it got worse as the game went on.
Well, teams are so close talent-wise in the NFL that you can notice such small differences, and you can notice when a team's not playing with energy. Like, you know, they don't have that passion, the juju out there on the field. And to be honest, I think a lot of that comes down to coaching.
I do, too.
Your players are in the mindset you put them in.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't know, one thing, too. I mean, we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but just watching McCarthy, his face, his mannerisms, his body language, he's guilty.
Guilty.
Somebody give me a rope.
I think the seat's pretty hot. Like, he understands that. They showed 3% chance of making the playoffs now for the Packers, according to a graphic on NBC. One of many graphics on NBC.
My gosh. I mean, I'm surprised they're not all sponsored. This graphic brought to you by...
They probably are. it's in the fine print.
Right. There you go with an asterisk.
So let's move right into play calling. McCarthy's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think everyone can agree now, you know, for years there's been one section of Packer fandom calling for McCarthy to be, you know, booted out, basically saying that he's wasting a lot of the talent the team has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's becoming the norm now as far as the way fans feel about it.
Odds Shark, I've never heard of them, but they're being quoted by a lot of different sports websites. And Hot Shark says that McCarthy is now the favorite to lose his job. If you want to put a bet on it, it's a plus 400. So if you bet 100, you can win 400. But the coaches behind him, Todd Bowles.
Bowles.
My Bowles. And Steve Wilks. Bowles for the Jets, Wilks for the Cardinals. For what it's worth.
I think he's out. It's hard to picture him staying. But... You know, there has been a lot of talk for years now about how close he is with Mark Murphy and the front office of the Packers, that they're basically friends. So I guess you never know. Or maybe that just means it'll help McCarthy kind of decide what he wants to do next. I don't know.
Do you know that?
But the...
I'm just going to say, if that's the case, I mean, I would think Murphy would put himself on the hot seat, because if McCarthy fails next year...
The hot seat for who?
For Murphy.
But who's in charge of Murphy?
Board of directors. They're the ones who would have to hire somebody else.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. That's the thing with the Packers organization, though. You don't see quick turnover because there's no strong leader of the team.
You don't have an owner
to be displeased.
Right, so it's a win and a lose for you.
You know, it's same as politics. You have a dictatorship. You know, things change pretty quick. Policies move along pretty quick. Democracies are slow and they crawl forward because of checks and balances. If you have a board determining when a GM has to be kicked out, I'm sure it comes down to a vote, you know. Everything's different with the Packers organization.
I would agree with that.
For those of you who don't know, we're the only publicly owned team in the NFL. I think in the major sports, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least the American sports.
I agree with everything you said, but I do believe that he's not infallible. Murphy, if he keeps him on, McCarthy.
I would say he's infallible.
And so you were in an argumentative mood tonight.
I'm saying there's no one to kick him out. I'm saying there's no one to put their thumb on Murphy.
So you're saying that he's there forever?
Not necessarily.
He never can mess up and get out.
I feel like you're trying to go one extreme or the other here, and I'm saying there's a lot of gray area.
What I'm saying is that if your friend, who is the head honcho, says, hey, we'll keep you on for another year. I got faith in you. Even though everybody is saying you should get rid of the guy and he fails again, yeah, you're going to have smoke coming out of your seat. He's got the hot seat.
Never disagreed with that. first few drives of this game, the play calling looked good. He was getting more creative to get guys open. And then it just kind of went flat, and a lot of the old problems that we've kind of been harping on for years now cropped up. Whether it's clock management, just bad calls at the worst times to call them.
I agree. And it's like he can script a game really well for the first 15 plays or whatever it
is. Once it goes off script, though.
Then he is messed up, especially coming in the second half. You just look at the games that we played this year. We can't do anything in the second half.
Yeah, and it's frustrating, too, when you have your defense playing well, or at least good enough. But he did look deflated in the second half. I mean, the team as a whole did. And I think part of it is McCarthy kind of, you know, maybe he's heard the talk that he has to start coaching better, you know, get everything figured out. And
you see, when you say heard the talk, you're not talking about like fans or media. You're saying from within the organization?
No.
Oh, you're saying fans
and media. Okay. You know, okay. He has Google. I'm sure he's not immune.
I don't know if he even has a cell phone. He's old school, man.
So I think, you know, you spend the week thinking I need this game. And then if you throw everything in the kitchen sink at him in the first half and it doesn't work,
right,
I could see you being a little deflated.
Yeah, I agree.
He said, I don't know if it was in the post game or the day after, but he said, I need to coach better.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure the Browns will really appreciate.
You're pushing that rumor.
I could see it. You know, he has a relationship with the front office there.
You know, if he does, I wish him all the luck. Again, we've used the Andy Reid
analogy.
There's
a lot of talent in Cleveland right now. Baker Mayfield, up-and-coming star, you know. There's a lot to build around. Speaking of a lot to build around, we are a talented team.
Yes, we are.
We have heard that. Time and time again this season and last season. It's the coaching staff's responsibility to turn a talented team into a good team. Because, you know, that's what the magic of football is, that the sums are more than the whole. Or the parts are more than the sum of the whole. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if
we know
a bumper
saying.
Sticker got drunk, basically. Petten, though, good and bad. How do you feel about him?
Well, it's hard for me. I told you this during the game. It's hard for me to look at the game knowing the amount of injuries we have on defense. I mean, we have a lot. And to look at it and say, be too critical on it. I mean, there were some parts of it that were awesome, some parts that I thought, well, what's going on? But I don't know if they're scheming for the rookies that are in it. What do we have, like four rookies in the backfield at one point. And so, come on, it was obvious too if you ever saw him trying to tackle, and I emphasize try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we a lot of injuries to deal with on defense, and a lot of young guys to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not only are you dealing with that, but you've been implementing a new defensive scheme this year. And yes, we're in the latter half of the season, so that's probably not as big of an issue as it was earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
But it still shows that he has done a lot with a little. I think, you know, looking at this game, you hold the Vikings. If you would have told me we would hold the Vikings to 24 points in Minnesota, I would say we won.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I don't think this comes down to the defense. I think they did their job, and I think they did it with, you know, guys that they didn't expect to have to do it with. So I'm impressed with the way the defense played this game and has played so far this season. I think, you know, hopefully we see it again going forward.
I did hear a clip from Aaron Rodgers post-game, and he said the same thing. He said, when you have a defense that's playing with so many injuries and they hold the Vikings at home to 24, that's just on us. That's on the offense.
Mm-hmm. So. And 24 points is not much anymore because the average score is going up as the rules change in the NFL.
Right.
And I think the average combined score this year is 48. Hmm. So, you know, it's frustrating, but hopefully, you know, we have Pettin in there. This is his first year as our defensive coordinator. He's kind of getting his system figured out. Hopefully we can kind of, you know, bring in a new head coach. Pettin has said he has no interest in the head coaching job or a head coaching job.
They all say
He wants to focus on being the defensive coordinator. So, you know, much like where the Rams, they had Wade Phillips as their defensive coordinator, and they kept him there. And then brought Scott McVay in, an offensive-minded head coach. You know, maybe we can do the same thing where we look at bringing in someone and keeping Pettin there as that solid base where if you have a good team, it's a lot easier to build a team.
I forgot that.
Or a good defense, it's a lot easier to build a team.
I forgot that Phillips was already there.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually, a lot of times, it's hard to bring a coach in. You'll say, I want my guys.
Yeah, they bring in their guys.
Right.
Yep. The bad with Pettin this game is that Raven Green, the unsigned free agent that we, you know, picked up this year, was lined up on Stephon Diggs, had a big part in the game late in the game instead of Jaire Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Their best guy, speed guy, and, you know, that's a slip up on Pettin's part. But
is that, I mean, they don't audible on defense or guys line up on the wrong guy?
It works differently. You're not like, on offense where, you know, you have a spot, you go to your spot to start the play. On defense, you got your guy, kind of, unless you're playing zone, which we did play a lot more zone this game than we've been seeing, and that's because we had, you know, guys going out, young guys in there, and, you know, you play man defense when you're confident that your defense can cover them. You play zone when you hope they make a mistake when they're in your zone.
If I remember right, Raven Green, kind of a stocky guy. Do you remember seeing him play? He was like, he looked like a guy. He's not real quick, but man, he can lower the boom.
Mm-hmm.
But I just...
Or is it Tony Green? Yeah, it's... Now I'm... There's too many young guys, new guys
it's
on
hard.
This team. It is hard. I think we have like 11 or 12 starters like on the active roster, or rookies on the active roster. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So moving into the offense here, Rodgers went 17 of 28, 198 yards and a touchdown. Not the Aaron Rodgers game we're used to seeing.
No. Besides that, those first two touchdowns in the first half, well, right away in the second quarter and the one in the first quarter, even in between those, he didn't look like himself. And then the second half, he just was going through the motions, it looked like. He did not look happy. He looked very frustrated.
And the problem is we needed Aaron Rodgers this game. You know, when the rest of the team is slacking, that's where we're used to seeing him step up and kind of carry this team. And that's where we talk about, you know, he's worth two or three wins just having him a year. We needed vintage Aaron Rodgers this game to kind of burn the house down and get the win just because he's determined to get the win. But it's really not what we saw. You mentioned, he seemed visibly frustrated at a lot of points, but he also just, he missed a lot of throws.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been known for kind of the loose fundamentals, like he's the guy that can throw it with no feet on the ground,
right,
that kind of thing. But I think we're seeing that work a lot less often now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's necessarily because he got, you know, too far away from fundamentals and he didn't have a coach there to keep him in check. Maybe that's where a new, you know, player-coach relationship would help, someone to get him back into a system. Or maybe we're just seeing kind of age catching up to him, and the way he plays it without the fundamentals is a young man's way to play.
I'm not willing to say the old word yet for him, but
I wouldn't say, I don't think that's the likely cause, but I think
he did lose his quarterback coach in the offseason. They replaced mm-hmm. him. He was not happy with that.
He was not. No.
So it's just been a bad year for him. He loses Jordy. He gets hurt. I still think he's affected by that knee or something. It's off.
And he's got a lot of, you know, guys he doesn't know out there, and a lot of rookies mm-hmm. out on receiver. But he missed two big touchdown throws to Adams. That was frustrating. The second one with he had outstretched fingertips right off the fingertips, and that's just kind of how the game went. That play, you know, is emblematic of the season pretty much as a whole right now.
What's that word again?
Emblematic.
Wow. I'll have to look that one up later.
Yeah, write it down.
I'll remember.
And I think the most frustrating thing is just watching him avoid checkdowns to Aaron Jones. Especially like we had one where it was like 3rd and 2. Aaron Jones is standing there for a first down. All he has to do is dump it. And instead he pump fakes it,
right,
looks deep, takes the sack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take the first down, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Your checkdown is there as your last option. If they're open, you throw it. You don't look at them and then look back upfield. Throw it when they're open.
It's like you were saying, though. It's like, need somebody to rein him in and you know, pull him back. We kind of saw that with Favre as he got further along in his career, where I know what I'm doing. But you can't. That's why you have coaches.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of the talk has been around Josh McDaniels as a possible coach for the Packers, with McCarthy most likely leaving.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Why is that?
Well, I don't see it happening. Because I think Josh McDaniels went back and reneged. Was it the Colts that he said, "Oh yeah, I'll be there on Friday,"
mm-hmm.
and he calls him Thursday night and says, "Hey, I had a change of heart because Kraft and his team said, you know, you're the next guy." That's my feeling. Come back home, son. And you will replace Billy.
So my feeling on it is that none of that matters. I don't care about the drama. I care about who's, you know, the best guy for the spot. And he works with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has made that offense hum for a long time. And so he knows how to run an offense through a star QB. And I think that would be good for Rodgers, you know, to get back into a system and have to work within a system. And he knows how to support your quarterback with the weapons that you have around him. Even if, you know, the studs are injured or not in the game, he knows how to, you know, find what guys do best and use that to help the mm-hmm. offense. I think that would be great for the Packers and the amount of talent they have on the team. And when the Niners were hiring their new coach a little while ago, they were looking at it. Listening to something about this brain fart, but they were looking at their head coach and GM kind of as package deals. They wanted ones that would work well
right.
together and have a good relationship,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't end up going with them, but their second choice was Gutekunst and Josh McDaniels because they would work well together. So that foundation is kind of already there. I think it would be a good fit.
I'm not saying that I don't think he's a good coach. I just don't see it happening. I don't see him leaving New England.
I think he's the most likely head coach option for the Packers.
Okay.
We're at very opposite ends of this.
All right. Moving on to the receivers.
Davante Adams, 5 catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown. Still uncoverable, still underused.
Mm-hmm. 2 touchdowns should have been.
Mm-hmm. It was, it was a frustrating game in the passing game the whole time. You had Equanimeous St. Brown, 3 catches, 53 yards, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling with 1 catch for 3 yards.
I'm really glad you say those last two names.
I don't expect you to, buddy.
I appreciate the help there, sir.
Look, I didn't even put it on our little outline here. I was like, he's not going to say it anyways. I don't have to take the time to type out a 40-character name.
Throw me under the bus.
And it's just frustrating, especially with Valdes-Scantling, because, you know, we really saw him as like, okay, this is the young Randall Cobb, and, you know, very likely he might still be. You know, a couple bad games in an offense that isn't moving well anyways. You can't look at that too much. But he has been a lot quieter the last few games than he was. And so he had 1 catch for 3 yards this game. But he was in on 83% of offensive plays. That's 44 total plays, and he was only targeted twice.
So, yeah, and I don't know, was he getting open?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and really, like, reanalyze the tape and, you know, who's got time for that? If you want to pay us, wink, wink, sponsor, you know, we'll gladly go back and watch as much football as you ask. But, I just think it will be exciting, though, with this receiving corps to see a lot of these young guys and rookies get a lot of time now, especially if our playoff hopes dwindle even further than a 3% chance. You know, I could see just a lot of young guys getting some valuable reps at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm hopefully we can right the ship coming up here. We'll talk about our next opponent, but I don't know. It took a lot of wind out of the sails. You know, it's just been a bad month of football.
If you're a Packer fan.
Yeah.
Or a Badger fan.
A Badger fan, too. Boy, they were overrated. My gosh. I don't hate Badger fans. How come they can never get a good quarterback? It's like, really?
I think losing Geronimo Allison for the year hurt more than we expected. Like, we knew he was becoming a big piece of this offense, but, you know, we didn't quite realize how much. He was kind of becoming, like, a go-to guy in a lot of big downs.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of like the Donald Driver type role, where he was always there on third down when you needed him, or he would have a few, you know, streaks upfield a game. So I think losing him hurt. Jerron Moore, he went down. I don't know if he came back in this game. I don't think so. But he went down with an injury this game. But I would like to see him get more reps, because I think with his athleticism, a lot of it is just going to be him getting the experience at receiver to really contribute to the offense. So if he can do that now when, you know, there's a lot less on the line potentially, I think that would be good.
Aaron Jones ran 17 times for 72 yards and a touchdown. Decent average, 4.2 yards, but I felt like as the game went on, they were kind of stuffing the line. They didn't need to stuff the line. Their line was controlling our line.
They did a really good job controlling between the tackles. And, you know, yes, 4.2 yards per run is a good average, but we've been seeing 6.5 from Aaron Jones. Going into this game, he was the leading the NFL in run yards per run average. So frustrating to see, but they were, you know, stuffing the box in a few plays, especially third downs are just tough to convert against the Vikings. They have found a special way to stop teams on third down.
And we haven't been doing good on third down anyways.
No, we haven't. But we finally saw McCarthy give up the running back by committee idea and finally made Aaron Jones the premier back. Probably a little too late.
I agree.
But it happened.
I agree. Boy, you know, and since we had so many players, it was no big deal to lose any of our offensive linemen to injury. It was no big deal at all.
Yeah, Bakhtiari.
It's really sad to see.
Bakhtiari went out. He went out briefly, and then Spriggs came in and promptly let up a sack, I think, on the very next play. But then Bakhtiari came back in and then went out again. He ended up with 2 different injuries to his left knee this game. And then Bulaga, also, you know, our other stud tackle, he's just banged up to the point of, you know, we're not sure if he's going to play week to week. It feels like a lot of our offensive linemen are kind of like the Walking Dead out there right now.
They really are.
Trying to provide a body. Lane Taylor went out this game. Yeah, it's just frustrating. And, you know, we talk about the McCarthy issues that creep up year after year after year. What about injuries? Because right. We have been one of the most injured teams consistently for about a decade now.
Yeah, I haven't ever seen true statistics on that. I've seen and heard a lot of Packer fans say that, but I'm not saying you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I think it's easy because you keep seeing guys get injured. I think the Redskins have been worse than – I think they're the worst team this year as far as injuries.
I agree. I just know we're consistently every year ranked probably top five for most injured teams, it feels like, every year now. I don't know, maybe someone buried a goat in the field or something, but it could be that, you know, McCarthy needs to do something different to get a different result.
Right.
I don't know.
Before we move on, I wanted to mention that Corey Linsley is having a good year. So he's it's probably been tough for him. We got guys coming in and going out all the time, but he's been playing well. So kudos
to him. It's been a rough year all around if you're a Packers offensive lineman.
That's right.
So let's talk about the defense here. Despite being banged up in a lot of areas on the defense, they held the Vikings, as we said, to 24 points. That should have meant a W for us. They did their job.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Especially with, like we said, all the injuries that they had going on. And it's not like the Vikings aren't talented. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of talent.
Yeah, they have, you know, Kirk Cousins is one of the stud QBs in the league. They have Dalvin Cook, one of the top running backs talent-wise in the league. And then you got the two best, probably the best receiver duo right now in the league between Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
I know last year I think they ended up the number one duo, and I think they're on pace to do it again this year. So they have a lot of weapons, and to hold them to 24 points with what we had on the field, it's frustrating to not come away with a win.
I don't remember who was covering, but Thielen had an unbelievable catch and from Cousins, and he was covered really well. And they're running down. It was 20 yards plus, I believe.
Josh Jones
okay.
missed the tackle. He went for the interception when it was a defensible ball. And I think it was like a 38-yarder ended
38?
Up being.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that was Josh Jones. He's had a lot of good and bad this game. More bad this game than anything. He had that big play and then some missed tackles as well.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm all over the place here. I always have a hard time scrolling on your mouse.
I know. I have mine. I'm ADD, so I have mine going opposite what
you
normally
have. You have it inverted, but then also you scroll and nothing happens. And then you scroll a little bit more and it goes whoop. And
oh, what?
Whoop. We're really missing Mike Daniels.
Mike Daniels.
Like, you could tell this game, the inside pass rush, pass.
So you should have done your tongue twisters.
Look, I wrote pash, P-A-S-S. H. That's why it's messing me up. Pass, rush. And we missed him on the run defense as well. He's, in case you haven't heard, we got the news shortly before the game on Sunday, maybe Friday or Saturday. Daniels is out for the year most likely with a foot injury, especially the way the season is going.
Right.
I would guess he's out for the year.
I would agree.
Lowry and Clark each had a sack this game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a plus. Another good game for Kenny Clark. He's been solid all year. 4 tackles, 1.5 for a loss, and a sack. Someone I was pleasantly surprised with this game was Montrevious Adams on the defensive line. I think he did a good job stepping in there, especially on stopping the run. And I think we've seen quite a few flashes from him when he's gotten time. He's a big body. He seems to, you know where to be and pushes guys around. What more can you ask from a defensive lineman?
Do you remember who I know I'm putting you on the spot, but there was the sack we got on Cousins, and just threw him down. Should have been a flag. Do you remember that play? And we all just went, whoa.
Yeah, I think that was Lowry.
Was it?
I mean, could be wrong.
It because just picked him up and boom, throws him.
Well, when you
down.
Compare that to the first time we played them and we had that, you know, BS call on Matthews to not win the game, like compare that to where we, like you said, threw Cousins down.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows how it feels like the Packers are good at being the team to cause change. they're good at being the catalyst, whether it's the fail Mary with the, you know, the refs were on strike.
Right.
I feel like there's a handful of them, but
okay.
There's this one as well. Ibrahim Campbell. He was in the game. I ended up Googling him during the game because I didn't know who Campbell was.
Right.
He had 8 tackles this game, but we signed him 3 weeks ago just to fill a hole, and he ended up playing the whole game pretty much. I think like over 90% of defensive snaps. Speaking of being all over, Martinez, once again, all over the field, 13 tackles. Can't complain.
Right, right. He can't. Every once in a while, he looks, no offense, please, but looks a little bit of a doofus when he gets out in the open too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially, you know, trying to cover somebody. He had a play where he took out one of our guys, and the Vikings ended up having a really big play on it. So, but he's a stud. I mean, he definitely plays well.
I was looking at like missed tackles this game, and then it was difficult because there was a lot of guys who you can't really blame for the missed tackles. I had missed tackles because the Vikings have a lot of guys who can make you miss, especially Stephon Diggs. Like, he is a slippery little bugger.
Let me get him.
He's like a Darren Sproles wide receiver. You know how Sproles, you could just never quite grab him.
Right.
He's tiny and he always ran around you. Like, if it feels like Diggs can just as quickly move laterally on the field than vertically.
But it wasn't always Diggs. I mean, there was a lot of missed tackles, I felt.
There was.
So, and I attribute that to a lot of new guys, a lot of rookies, a lot of fill-ins.
Speaking of not new guys, Clay Matthews. I'd say this was probably, it was definitely his best game of the year as far as run stoppage. You know, he didn't really get anything for pass rush, but we didn't have a rush on the outside the whole game. Which includes Matthews and Reggie Gilbert and Kyler Fackrell.
Yeah, Fackrell was just kind of non-existent.
No.
I think he had one or two tackles.
You know, and that's why you can't just be giving the game ball to guys who just think they can upstart, have one big game, and we give them a game ball, and then you can come in and not have a sack.
It's like getting that that big contract, and then you go, I can check out now.
Nick Perry.
But, you know, I was watching Matthews quite a bit, and I used to – think, okay, he's getting double teamed, and so that frees somebody
up. They don't
up.
Need to double team
him
anymore.
They don't need to
anymore. No. And
so this is his last year.
Jair Alexander. Once again, one of the bright spots for the Packers this week. He played well. You know, all said and done, he had some passes that were let up, but like we said last week, when he lets up a reception, he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's got to be a heck of a throw most of the time. And I think he had one where it was just blanket coverage, but he didn't get his hands up pretty close in the game, and it got, like, teardropped in there by Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins had a lot of good throws this game.
He
I think a good chunk of his yards came from the fact we were playing so much zone defense, and he could kind of pick them apart between the zones.
Mm-hmm.
But he did have a good game.
And it was a heck of a comeback game, too, because he had a worst game of the year the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And so to come back, and it's a huge game for him, they needed it as much or more than we did. So I would like to know if Alexander really, what his true height is. Because I think he's listed at like 5'11". But he kind of reminds me of those, like, dogs. You know, you get a big dog, and it's just kind of like, hey, how you doing? And you got a little dog, and trying to be the bully, you know. It's like he just throws himself around, and he can lay down the boom on guys, and it's really surprising as a rookie how well he's playing. A lot of times you'll see flashes, but a lot of mistakes.
And, I mean, he was a shutdown corner in college. You know, he just beat guys with athleticism and not, you know, letting them go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting, and especially – because he did that with Kirk Cousins having a lot of time this game. We did not have a rush.
No.
A lot of the secondary had to deal with long coverages, and that is not something that you can do in the modern NFL.
Well, especially when you got so many rookies out there. So, but that's why Sean and I keep harping on, we gave up 24. We gave up 24.
Yeah, I am, to reiterate, very happy with how the defense played this game.
Yes.
Much more poo-poo-y on the offense. You okay? Mike choked on his water.
Yeah, it almost came out my nose there. Poo-pooey.
Poo-pooey.
Excuse me, sir. Will you please hand over the poo-pooey?
Hey, you wrote down that one word earlier to look up later. Look up poo-pooey while you're at it.
I already forgot what that other word was.
I was trying to think of it. I got nothing. Let's move on to special teams, though.
Okay.
J.K. The Kid. Scott.
He always, you know what? He kind of reminds me of Cutler. Because he gets out there and he's got this sad sack look and he's kind of shoulders are hanging down. He's looking around.
I think you have to have that mentality to be a good kicker. To be a punter or a place kicker, you have to give that I don't give a crap. You have
Crosby
to have that.
Crosby doesn't
like,
look that way.
No, Crosby definitely does not. But a lot of like place kickers, you know, they look like nothing will faze them. It doesn't matter if they're going out there and the team's up by 20 or down by 20.
Yeah.
Or down by 3, they're right. Going out there to kick a ball.
Right.
And you kind of see that nonchalantness from the California kid.
Yep.
I don't even know for sure if he's from California. He just looks like it.
We should look it up.
I should. But he had a pretty good stat line this game.
Yeah, he was 46 yards gross, and his net was 39.3. Three punts within 20-yard line. That's awesome. I mean, I think any team would pretty much take that. Trevor Davis still looks good on his returns, and he's pretty darn good on tackles from the gunner position on punt coverage. And you're doing the hashtag, are you?
We're doing the hashtag, but to circle back really quick.
Okay.
J.K. Scott is from Denver, Colorado, where he went to high school and played at Alabama.
Hey, man.
That's why he looks like the California kid. He played in Denver.
He
was a mile high all of high school. So.
All right, so hashtag.
Fire the Zook. Ron Zook has got to go. I don't know why he's still there.
He's friends with McCarthy, who's friends with Murphy.
Yeah, who's friends with 60% of the board.
That's all you need.
You can't have illegal formations on special teams.
Oh.
You have a handful of plays every game, and your job is to make sure guys are where they're supposed to be. That is your job.
I looked at you when that penalty was called, and you're like sitting there, and your hands go up, and you're just like,
It's just frustrating. And what about Tremont Williams muffing that punt where he didn't back up, it bounced off the ground, and then it like spun weird and hit him in the chest.
And it was just like that spiraling down the drain.
Yeah.
That was towards the end of the game.
You know, if Bill Parcells was watching this game, you know he was banging his head on the wall because he always talked about that. Get away from the ball.
I don't get it. You know? I don't get it.
Just get away from it.
I don't care nothing how competitive good, you are.
You know, maybe nothing bad will happen, but nothing good will happen
That's
from
right.
being near it. So get away from the ball, Tremont, and fire the Zook.
Yeah, I'd be perfectly fine with it. And that, you know, that's a position, too. You see, I can't remember, was it Sam Peatensy for Dallas? He was there for years and years.
Sam Parisi?
He was an older
Sam
guy.
Sam Pacilla?
He was just
Sam Parini?
Would you stop? And he just was, like, screaming and yelling all the time, firing the guys up and stuff like that. And he was able to keep innovating, where you need a special teams coach that motivates, because you get out there for so few plays.
Weirdly similar to our complaints with the head coach.
He's friends with the head coach. He's friends with Murphy.
We were saying we need an offensive-minded head coach. Let's bring in a special teams-minded head coach. Let's have the gem of the league when it comes to special teams.
In the news, the Packers have hired a special teams head coach.
Still no offense, but they punted 14 times to the within the 5.
Very impressive.
Final thoughts, Mike. Give me your final thoughts. Padre.
You know, after the game, it was depressing because, you know, we went through last year, Aaron got hurt, and we're hoping, you know, we really wanted to pull off the Seattle game. Didn't do that. Okay, now we really got to do this, guys, and Vikings, and we looked flat. How the heck can you look flat? And it's such an important game. So
the juju hasn't been there all season.
And it's so frustrating. So I'm going to stick to my feelings on McCarthy and he needs to go. I hope if it's the decision is made on if we make the playoffs, and I don't want to make the playoffs. I mean, to me, that's stupid. If I can't fire the coach. It's like, really? It's been done many times. Many times. So, what's your final thoughts?
Similar.
Ditto.
Same. So, I just feel like it'll be too negative to reiterate the same negativity. My final thoughts are...
But that's a positive.
We pissed away the season.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they didn't hear it.
You know, we'll bleep it out.
No, we won't.
You're right. We won't. This is our podcast. We pissed away the season. Don't bleep that one. Bleep the first one. But I think we need someone who can come in and utilize the talent we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, you can look at teams with a mediocre record and you can tell which ones are there because of the talent on the team and which ones are there because of the coaching staff and how they use the talent. And I think that's the biggest missing piece for the Packers right now. So things are looking bleak when it comes to the playoff hunt. As we said in the, you know, from the wise gods at NBC's graphics department, we have a 3% chance of making the playoffs. A lot of that will come down to how the Vikings and Bears do moving forward. So you brought up before we started this, the Bears and Vikings remaining schedules.
Okay, well, the Bears won against the Lions. Actually, a close game. I didn't see it, so I don't know.
Lions could have, should have won
another
but
one.
But they decided to be the Lions.
Okay.
So.
All right, so their next game is going to be on Sunday against the Giants in New York. Then they go against the Rams in Chicago. That very easily could be a loss. Mm-hmm. Or the way they're playing, they might... That should be a good game to watch.
That'll be a good game.
Then the Packers are in Chicago on the 16th. Then the Bears get a gimme against the 49ers, and they end up the season at Minnesota.
That could be the North.
That could be, very much so.
One thing, the Rams-Bears game, that is going to come down to a very both teams are being very well coached right now. So it's going to be exciting to kind of see McVay and Matt Nagy go head-to-head. And that shows the difference in coaching, if you want to look at it. The Bears don't – they have talent, and they've picked up a lot of talent where they didn't – you know, they had holes before. But they don't have, I would say, more talent than the Packers. But Matt Nagy has made the most of what he has. He's making Mitch Trubisky look pretty darn good his second, third year. I think second year. It just shows, you know, you can do a lot with a little.
So, moving over to the Vikings and what they got left, they got a tough game in New England against the Patriots. Then they go to Seattle. Then the Dolphins come to Minnesota. Vikings go to the Lions. You know, and sometimes those, you can kind of hope for a win on those. And then, as we told you, the Bears will be in Minnesota for that last game of the year. So. That is all we got for you on that, sir.
I would like to add quickly that sea lions make that barking noise. Dolphins click.
All right, so let's talk about the Cardinals that are coming up this weekend.
The look you just gave me. we play the Cardinals in Lambeau. I mean, it's a game we should win.
Right.
There's not much else to say. They're a two-win team. They have had a bad year. We are better than them at every stage of the game, talent-wise, every position.
What about coach?
Who is their head? Is it Arians? Is he still there, or is he gone?
I can't remember. I don't know.
Bruce Arians.
Sorry, I thought you knew.
Right here. That's to the Google.
Mother Google.
To the Google.
Coach. You do, do.
All
do,
your keys
do,
are in different do, places do. Than what I'm used to. Steven Wilkes. Oh, we got him. Look at him. He looks scared right in his picture. He's got big eyes. He's like, Packers are coming. I think the only thing to really watch this game is if our offense can get in a rhythm. You know, I like to drill down and give one or two things that you can really look at in a game, but you can't look at the small details until you get the whole figured out. And so we just need our offense to find a way to get in a rhythm and start clicking. And if you can't do it against this year's Cardinals, you're not going to do it.
That's right. I agree with you. All right. Just want to give you a little bit of information about Voice Guy Next Door. That is moi, Mike, at voiceguynextdoor.com. And talk about podcasts. Then I was a little slow to the game. I listened to him thanks to Sean and his sister, my daughter, Jenny, who is a podcastaholic. It's huge out there. And so if you have a podcast that you are doing currently or going to put together, if you need somebody to do some intros, outros, commercials, stuff in between, you know, anything like that, I can help you out with that. I have a professional studio, professional equipment. You can ask my wife. I spent a lot of money, so it sounds really good. So you can check out voiceguynextdoor.com. Got a couple of demos on there. Got all my contact information. Just reach out to me. We can figure something out. Voiceguynextdoor.com. Time for the game ball.
Time for the game ball.
You go ahead and say it.
I think we can do it together. I'll... JK.
Scott!
JK.
Scott.
JK Scott.
Okay, I think we got it covered. Congratulations, JK.
You know, it's funny. When I was kind of putting our outline here together, I put JK Scott down for the game ball.
Really?
And then I erased it and put, do you have any ideas? Because I was like, I mean, it's not like punting won us the game. We just had to punt a lot, and he did well when he had to. But I think... consistency-wise, he's probably who you give it to.
Who was it last year we did special teams? We couldn't find anybody else because the game was
didn't
so
Didn't we
bad.
Do all special teams?
Maybe.
We gave it to the special teams, I think.
That could be. But anyway, congratulations.
Even when they do well, they don't get a game ball. They get to share a game ball because they're special teams.
So, oh, man, the cartoon bubbles are going on. So, JK, reach out to us, get us your address, and we'll send you your Nerf football. Thank
you. People are going to wonder why we keep trying to get these players' addresses. Like, what are they going to do to them?
We sell it on the dark net.
Let's move on to picks.
Sure.
You are now up by three. We both picked the Bears, and then you picked... Oh, I hope it feels good, because you picked the Vikings over the Packers,
yep.
Moving you up to a three-point lead.
Yep. Yeah, this guy.
All right. Mr. Big Guy, Mr. Man over there with his picks. You want to start out next week's games?
Bears at Giants? I have to go with the Bears.
Okay. Likewise.
All right.
Rams at Lions. Gotta go with the Rams.
Gotta go with the Rams.
Vikings at Patriots.
Oh, this could be one that we go opposite ways. I go with the folks in the Northeast.
All right, I'll go Patriots.
That's who I'm going with.
Oh.
Yeah, Northeast, you know, it's up that way. New England.
Gotcha. I was thinking North.
Okay.
I didn't register the East part.
So you're going to stick with
the Patriots? I guess I'll go Vikings. I was just going to pick opposite of you.
And then you're going to pick the Cardinals over the Packers?
Yeah, I'll pick the Packers.
I'll pick the Packers as well.
All right, so we differ on Vikings at Patriots. I have the Vikings, and you have the Patriots.
It could be a good game. It really could be a good game.
You should watch and look at how our... next head coach does against the Vikings.
Not giving that up, and I'm not giving up my opinion either. So,
well, that's good. Right. And until next time,
go Pack go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!